Pastor Dan asked to share their faith tonight. And I'm really looking forward. And the first one is a person that has really been really with us from the very beginning. And we just love this man. He's a servant, and we just really praise God for him. And it's Shad Smith. Where are you, Shad? Come on up. Good. Let's welcome him.
Welcome, everyone. So Dan asked me to do this, and I don't have a problem speaking in front of people, but I started doing my testimony and jotting things down, and then the last minute, my wife's like, oh, you should try it out, you know, and I think I cried the whole time, and then the second time I did it, I just cried at the end, so It was really good. So I'd like to say some prayers for the testimonies, and also some prayers for Pastor Dan and Lydia. My mom's out watching the dogs, or the dog, and she called the other day and said, the water's not on. And I'm like, oh, the water's not on. That's awesome. Seems like every time Dan goes out of town, something big happens. And this time it was the well, and Glenn came over and helped me with the electrical piece, and then we called the well guy, and they got us back on track, so we have water, and the yard should be green if we go on the 4th of July. So anyways, let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, we just lift this night up to you. We just really put it in your hands, Lord, and we know that you're in charge, and we give it all to you. We'd ask that you'd fill us with the Spirit, and that you'd touch other people's lives with these testimonies tonight, and we want to lift up the pastor, and we hope they're having fun in Hawaii, Lord, and we just really want to lift them up. It's a much-needed break for them. They've really served you for 4 years and not really had, it's been a grind, Lord, and we just hope that they get some relaxation and rejuvenation within their family, and we just ask that any of the things that could possibly go wrong at the Messenger household, that you just have your hand over that as well, Lord. And we just lift up the night, and we hope that that words are spoken to others in the audience, and that they could carry that out to others out in their daily lives. And so we lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, well, my testimony starts out in the very beginning. In my early childhood, I was born and raised in the Pullman area, and my grandparents had a big farm out there, and it was a lot of fun. We go and play and hang out at the farm, and I'll just say that some of my best memories were at the farm in Pullman, and running around out there, I'm going to say that we were maybe exposed to some things we probably shouldn't have been as young children, and I'm just going to leave it at that. We're going to keep these things G-rated tonight with the kids in here. So, you know, nothing crazy, but just, you know, things that were probably not child appropriate when we were little, and so that was kind of my early childhood stuff. My parents moved from Pullman to the Tri-Cities when I was just turning five, so about 1976 time frame. That puts it into perspective for you. And so we moved to the Tri-Cities, and then lived in Pasco for a while, then moved over to Kennewick. My folks got divorced, and so I grew up with my mom, and she's great, and she worked really hard, and so she would go to work in the mornings, and I'd get up with her at about 5 o'clock, and I started watching TV, and Star Blazers was my favorite. I couldn't wait till Star Blazers got on, but I had to wade through and watch the 700 Club, right, with Phil Robertson, and so I'm watching, and you know, I mean, I'm a little kid. I'm like third grade, fourth grade, and I'm watching Pat Robertson, and it's like an altar call, right? And I feel the Holy Spirit, and I think that's the first time I felt the Holy Spirit in my life. And I believe I gave my life to the Lord at probably the age of 9 or so-ish. And so that was my first experience. And now I did grow up with a grandmother. My dad's mom attended church, and I know she prayed for me. And then I had an uncle that would take us to church, a Lutheran church, growing up. And but that was my only real experience with church and the Lord, and besides the 700 Club and Phil. Middle school came around, and I was into sports. And so instead of watching TV in the morning, I would walk to school and play basketball at 5 in the morning. And I did that for my whole middle school career, and played 3 sports a year, was a snow skier. So I really enjoyed sports. And that's about the time I decided that I figured girls out, right? And with that, I just basically focused on those two things, and my grades went from A's and B's to C's, D's, and I think, well, my mom's in the crowd, I probably got a few F's during that time frame. So she was working, had a couple different jobs at that time to keep our head above water, and so I didn't have a lot of adult supervision, and so I was kind of left to my own devices. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. I was a latchkey kid back when latchkey kids, right? And I had it hanging around my neck, and I'd go to school and come back. So that's kind of how that went. Well, once I got to high school, you know, you get bigger, and then the drug and alcohol piece comes in. And so I just added that to my repertoire of sin, right? And so that's kind of how that went. I was a good athlete. I made bad decisions, so I could hit my head on the backboard or on the rim of the basketball hoop, and I never lettered in high school basketball because of my decisions, and I was prideful, and I thought I knew more than the coach, and then I was getting ready to go play college football, and I had a girlfriend, and she broke up, or we broke up, or whatever happened, just another, you know, bad decisions, right? So I thought, well, I'll just go play at this college. And a couple of the colleges weren't wanting me to play for them after they'd offered me, you know, to go play for them. And so I thought, well, I'm good enough. I can go play anywhere I want, right? And so that didn't happen. And so I took a year off, and I was messing around with all the stuff that I told you guys about before, and got bad grades at CBC, and then I went up to Spokane Falls to play college football, you know, because it was always a dream of mine to either play basketball or football or track or something, right? And so I went up there, and about halfway through my practice season, they said, hey, you're ineligible. You can't play. You got bad grades. And I was like, oh, nice. And so that spiraled. I came back home, continued my path of destruction, got married to somebody who wasn't a Christian, and, you know, we just rode that wave right into the massive destruction of lives around us with drugs and alcohol and that type of thing, right? So I go through my divorce. I have a daughter out of the deal, Paris, and she's 25 and getting married now, so that's exciting. But I continued on that path for a little while, and then all of a sudden I met somebody, and I got into counseling, and from counseling I started doing a 12-step program, and in that 12-step program, it's give the thing over to your higher power. And I'm like, well, I don't really have a higher power. So I started going to church at Calvary Chapel in Kennewick and got saved at about, I think 2005-ish, and was drug and alcohol free for 3 straight years. And I, you know, was doing good. I was plugged in. I was doing Wednesday nights, Sunday night, Sunday service, men's group, men's retreats, you know, plugged in. And everything was good. And then I just kind of faded back out into the world. And you know, and I'd show up to church with my Bible, and I'd walk in and sit down and walk back out. And that was about the extent of it, right? And so I was, you know, just kind of back into my old thing. And that was for many years that I did that. And I got married to my new wife, wonderful person, great family, and great kids. And I I thought, you know, I can have a couple drinks and everything's okay, right? And I can. I can have two drinks and I'm okay. But there's the day that I can't have two drinks, and then it turns really bad and it's awful for everybody. And then I'm not a very good person. And COVID came. So COVID comes and I'm looking for ammo and standing outside of Talos Tactical, and Pastor Dan walks up and says, "Hey, do you go to church?" And I go, "Yeah, kinda." I walk in, I walk back out, and he said, "Oh, well, I'm starting a church." And the funny thing is he didn't even invite me to church. I had to Facebook stalk him and I said, "Hey, man, can I come to your church?" And he's like, "Oh, man, I should have invited you to my church," right? And so he says, "Yeah, sure, come on." You know, and that was 4 years ago, and I started serving and understanding that it's bigger than me. We serve for everybody. We're the body, right? And I appreciate you guys. And I just really appreciate this church and the people in it. And I'm doing pretty good. And anyways, a lot of it is, you know, worrying about things and feeling ashamed of my sin and stuff like that. And it's like, God doesn't want me to be like that. He doesn't want me to be afraid, and he doesn't want me to be guilty, you know, he takes that stuff away from me. And I have to pray about it because, you know, I haven't been a good witness to my kids or my wife. And, you know, they've seen the bad side, right? And I want them to see the good side. And anyways, I feel like I lost a lot of time, you know, and it brought me to this scripture. It says Ephesians 5:15 through 20 about redeeming my time. And let me get my eyes straightened out here. It says, walk in wisdom. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making of melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And that's something I have to do over and over. It's just giving it to him, right? It's so important for me to turn on Christian radio when I get up in the morning. It's so important for me to drive the speed limit and not get caught up in road rage. It's so important for me to pray all the time, because I just slip right back, right? And I just want to be a good example for my people. And anyways, let's see, what else do I got? I think I got a couple other things. I just jotted down a couple little notes talking about, you know, God doesn't want me to worry. And I do pretty good on worrying, you know. I don't worry about a lot of the things. I feel guilty sometimes. But for the most part, God's good, you know. And all the glory goes to him. And it's not me doing it. It's absolutely not me. I just try to let God, you know, dictate my life and my path. And when I come to these things, I just pray and go to scripture. And I notice that my life is so much better when I'm in the Word and when I'm talking to Bible believers and Christians. And I got good friends that I talk to and support me. He's just all that's good in my life. And I just want to, you know, pronounce that he's the king, and I'm just down here. So I appreciate you guys. I'd like to pray. Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to pray with this body of believers I love so much. And just I want to lift them up, and I hope that somebody was touched, and I lift up the people that are coming after me and give them a sense of calmness, and fill them with the Spirit, Lord, and just speak to somebody in the audience, and we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Gunner, come on up. All right. I forgot to pray, and I'm really glad, Shad, that you prayed. Lord, just pray right now for Gunner as he just shares right now. Thank you for this man, Lord. What a blessing he is to all of us. And may you just be glorified in everything that he says, Lord. And just we love you and just praise you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So welcome, Gunner.
Greetings. I am not an elegant person like Chad. I want to begin with, I'm an iron worker and not an English major, and this is outside my comfort level. Pastor Dan texted me about sharing my testimony, and as I prayed about it, again, I was terrified. I then remembered my prior prayers that I asked God to be useful for his purposes. Be careful, he does listen. As it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do this all through him who gives me strength. And Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I grew up as an army brat around the country and Europe in a household that did not have a relationship with God. We all had our own ideas about God and the afterlife, but nothing tangible or biblically based. So without guidance or further education, I drifted into a job in the trades as an iron worker. Known for its grueling hard work and equally hard men, for those who don't know what iron workers do, we put up structures of skyscrapers, stadiums, and bridges. We change the skylines of cities, and I loved being an iron worker in Seattle. In my spare time, I rode with 1% motorcycle clubs with names you would recognize. I led a lifestyle of the proud and arrogant, of drinking, womanizing, and drug use, trying to fill a void in my life. Fast forward almost 25 years, and I met my wife. I knew right away she was different from the others. The difference being that she knew God, had faith, and had been saved by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What she saw in me then, I will never know. Now, I wish I could say that that's all it took to bring me to faith, but still God had not yet revealed himself. It took a few years of watching her study her Bible and pray about everything and seeing prayers answered. Like the whole time we were remodeling our house, and she prayed to the Lord to do something about an unnecessary foundation that was looming unsupported. That night, it came crashing down without damaging the new block wall, vapor barrier, and foundation that I had just put in. When that happened, I believe God had planted a seed. Philosopher Pascal said, "There is a God-shaped void in the heart of every man that can only be filled by God himself through his son, Jesus Christ. I began to see his hand in his works around me. My faith came to me one day like someone turned on a light switch. As I know now, it was the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 40, 2 and 3, it says, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, and a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. I am so blessed and thankful that God removed my blindness, and I realized from that day forward I needed to have a relationship with the Lord. I began reading my Bible, praying, and watching sermons, and began looking for a church that taught the gospel, which led me here. Since accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, God has showed me that being a Christian isn't just about doing good works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That made it clear that I do not have to earn my salvation or his love. He has given me fulfillment, purpose, and joy. I will always be a sinner, as I am not perfect and I still mess up. But God loves me despite my flaws and imperfections. When the things I was pursuing before continually let me down, God never left me. He has shown himself to me in his word. God loved me even at my lowest point, and he rescued me from myself and eternal separation from him. I now have more kindness, more patience, compassion, and a growing love of others. I hunger to serve. I no longer wish to live my life as I wish, but as he wills, for he is the Lord and Savior. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight." And in John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Lord, thank you so much for April, Lord. Just bless the Mitchell family, Lord, as well. And bless her as she just speaks to us, Lord, and just shares her heart. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm. A little different audience than what I'm used to, so I'm a little nervous. My story is not just my story. It's Ryan and I. He's just not here. We had a 12-year-old who had surgery this week, so he's at home playing nurse. So this is our story, our testament. We both grew up in Christian households, but as some teenagers do, we were a little rebellious and stopped going to church. When we got married, we kind of just continued on down that path. We had the older boys. This story really starts about 13 years ago with just a simple invitation to church from a friend. We thought, sure, we'll check it out. We went and we really enjoyed it. We felt like this was the thing that was absent in our life. We got really involved. I was doing the ladies' Bible study. We ended up joining a small group as a couple, going to church regularly, doing the Christian things. We just weren't necessarily on fire for Christ. We hadn't completely surrendered in the way that we would later. At the time, Ryan, I was a stay-at-home mom. Ryan was working a job it provided, but it probably wasn't the most stable position. And he really wanted to get into law enforcement. It had kind of been a dream for a long, long time. And so after a little research, he realized that he should become a reserve officer and do some volunteering. So after working all week, he would come home, get changed, and work all night, Friday and Saturday night. He didn't sleep. I don't know how he did it. But it did allow him to make a lot of really great connections in the police department. And after 2 years, he was hired. We were overjoyed. He started the police academy on the other side of the state. He would come home on weekends. Everything was going really well. Training was going well. His test scores were high. Ian was born during that time. He got to come home for a couple days when he was born. So we thought, this is it. This is our chance to have stability and him have a career that he was proud of. Until something happened, which is why I'm up here. During a training exercise, one of the instructors thought that he had done something really unprofessional, something that's not in Ryan's character at all. He hadn't done it. But he was accused of it, and when he was confronted about it, he accepted the punishment, and because he worries so much about what people think of him, he said, absolutely, I'll have that essay on your desk by morning, just so you know, that is not what I did. And that actually got him kicked out of the police academy because they accused him of lying. Because he wasn't able to finish his training, he was fired from the department for not completing training. And what a shock that was. There was almost a sense of mourning period with the loss of his dream job, being accused of something that he knew he had not done. Some people that he had gotten to know through the department had his back and they absolutely stood by his side, and others didn't, and that was incredibly painful. The day that he drove home from the academy, he didn't remember that drive. When he got home, we all gave him a really big, long hug. And I saw my husband do two things that day that I had never seen him do before. I saw him cry. And I saw him pick up a Bible, and that changed everything for us. We went through the appeals process. He passed a polygraph test, but it didn't do any good. They wouldn't take him back, and that's fine. That door was shut to us. Like I said earlier, I was a stay-at-home mom during this time, and we were a paycheck-to-paycheck family with now three little boys. And we didn't know where the next check was coming from or when, but we began to tithe. That was the thing we had to surrender. We had nothing, and we had to go all in, completely trusting that the Lord would provide for us. It was the verse Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Throughout this whole journey, the really hard stuff over the next couple years, he provided every step of the way. And he continues to provide today. If we had an unexpected medical bill, we would get an unexpected refund in the mail. A family member at one point gifted us money. I think it was back to school time. The boys needed clothes and shoes, and somebody took them shopping. Blessing after blessing, God provided everything we needed. So he had to get a job. He was faced with just going back to the thing that he didn't really like, but it would pay the bills. He considered going into the trade, but he really didn't have the confidence to work with his hands. It wasn't part of his upbringing. His dad was an accountant, so enough said. During my Bible studies and while confiding with a lot of friends, I kept running into a portion of Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. This verse kept coming up over and over again. I shared with Ryan that it kept coming across my path. So one day he just realized, I just got to go get a job doing what he was doing before. So he started to change his clothes and get ready. And he almost audibly heard the Holy Spirit say to him, wait. This went against everything that he knew. He had such a desire to provide for his family. So it took total trust for him to take those dress clothes back off and know that the Lord was preparing an opportunity. So he didn't go to the interview that day. 2 days later, a family friend called and asked, hey, are you working yet? And he said, no. He's like, I know a guy. This guy owns a telecom business in Spokane. You know, it's not great pay, but I don't know what he would pay you. It's kind of grunt work, but it would be something. He'll be in town tomorrow, and he'd like to pick you up and kind of get to know you for the day. And Ryan was like, sure. We did a little research online later, and it was only going to pay about $12 to $15 an hour. And for, at the time, our family of five, we looked at our bills, and we determined that he really couldn't make any less than $20 an hour to cover our expenses. At the end of the day, the gentleman dropped Ryan back off at the house, and he looked at him and said, I really want to hire you, and I can see that you have a family and expenses, as he looks over at our house. I'm not really sure why I'm doing this, but I'll pay you $20 an hour. Keep it to yourself, because I don't pay the other guys that much. Ryan graciously accepted the job, and we found out later that his new boss was a Christian. While working on this new job, Ryan had to travel quite a bit all over the Northwest. He like hardly ever had a job in town to do, and he was all over the place. And this job was miserable, just digging ditches everywhere. They were putting in conduit for fiber for all of our internet all over the Northwest. Miserable conditions, beating heat, rain, downtown Seattle traffic, he's in the road, or in the backwoods in Oregon and fighting a rock. In fact, he shared, in the ditch, he was almost always praying. And he said, you know, sometimes when he would come across a really stubborn rock, he kind of thought to himself, I wonder if God put this here at the very beginning of creation just to form me into the man that he wants me to be. There were other hard things that happened during this time. At one point, he threw his back out and had to keep working. On the weekends, when he would come home, he'd pick up side gigs to make ends meet. So he'd go mow people's lawns, he'd deliver bounce houses to birthday parties. At one point, he was remodeling someone's rental property for them. I was 7 months pregnant with Blake at one point and got pneumonia while he was on the road. So three boys to take care of, I wasn't sleeping, and the coughing was so bad, I coughed a rib out of place. It was painful. At another point, he was on the road in Utah for 6 weeks straight. A lot of people might experience stuff like that and think that they're not where God wants them to be. But we knew that we were exactly where God wanted us to be because we were in the Word and we were constantly praying. My ladies' Bible study group was studying the book of James through a large portion of this time, and I just held on to James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Through those difficult things, we weren't asking why me. We were asking God, what are we supposed to learn through this? And he was so faithful. He taught us the lessons that we needed to learn, both physically and spiritually. After working there for a little over 2 years, he had a few people encourage him to pursue the electrical apprenticeship. He had always been afraid to pursue electrical, but he had gained the confidence in the 2 years in the ditch to go after it, and he successfully went through the hiring process. He's had so many blessings on this career path, several learning opportunities and promotions. I really think that it put me on the path to being a teacher, because if he had stayed in law enforcement, I probably would not have finished my education. We're so thankful that we experienced this loss, because we gained our salvation, and so did our boys and many others around us that watched us walk through this. And it all started with an invitation to church. So whose life and eternity could you change today with a simple invitation? To church. Thank you.